If you have a Bible, I think there's a story in 2 Kings chapter 4 that I think maybe goes a little bit along with what we've heard, and I think it's good for us. I think, well, maybe you'll know what I mean by this when we get to the end of tonight, but we've been together for the most part. A lot of us have been here for a couple weeks. I've gotten to know people a little bit better, and maybe you've gotten to know one another by now a little bit better, and we've gotten to know the needs that each other have. And here's a story that takes place. It's in the life of Elisha the prophet. Let's see, 2 Kings, it's chapter 4. And Elisha's an interesting man. If you've never read Elisha, they call him the New Testament prophet in the Old Testament, because his ministry seemed to be very New Testament-ish, if that's a word. It seems that he belongs a little bit later than he was. And some of these stories, I love these stories. Some of them I don't know what to do with. There's death in the pot. You remember that one? They went picking weeds or whatever. They were going to make stew. Now, when you're in the prophets, you know, sons of the prophets or students there, they probably didn't have a whole lot, so they wanted to add some flavoring. I hope the cook never gets an idea to send out the kitchen staff. We need some flavoring in this. It's a little too bland. Nothing he cooks is bland anyway. It's all good. But some other cook, perhaps, some other week. And they send them out. Go find something. And I don't know. You know, they're dredging out in the lake there. They're trying to get rid of the milkweed. Again, rid of that, because that's no good for the lake. So they're trying to get rid of it. So you pick up some of that. You figure, well, that sounds like it's edible. It's got milk in it. And let's give it a shot. Let's throw it in the pot. Well, they did that, these sons of the prophets, and they fed it to everybody, and it was poisonous. And then Elisha went to work. And I don't know what to make of that story, except every Christian makes blunders and mistakes. But why call them all to mind? He's able to undo my mistakes. He's able to override. Yeah, even when I make a boo-boo, even when I make a spiritual one, I'm glad for that. Now, I've used that story, and I've trusted in the New Testament part. This is all extra. This isn't the text, but I've trusted in the New Testament part. I can remember registering for school. I went to Queens College, and like some of you that I've talked to, when you started undergraduate, you had no idea what you were doing. You had no idea which direction you were heading. You knew you wanted to go to college, or you went to college, whether you wanted to or not. And now I had to register, and I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, because I didn't want to grow up. I wanted to be a Toys R Us kid and never grow up. And maybe I achieved my goal, but I remember registering. We had to do it different than you. You do it all online. We didn't have an ability to do it online, but we did do it by computer. But you had to go to where the computer was at the school, and you had to put in these little check or fill in the little with a pencil, the little square. I want this class, and maybe the computer would spit it out that you didn't get that class because it's full already, and so you had to figure out. It was hard to get classes sometimes. But here I found myself on my way to Queens College, and I had figured, okay, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I can be this and I can be that. Which direction? I didn't know. I honestly didn't know. I did pray, and I prayed a lot. And I asked the Lord, Lord, show me, help me, and I still didn't know. I don't know if that's right or wrong. I probably missed the signals. I probably didn't hear well enough from heaven, whatever it was. But I was a little bit confused and a little bit concerned that I would declare a wrong major, because to declare another major was a whole other headache that you had to go through. And so here I was. And I can remember praying, Lord, you're a heavenly Father that loves your children. So, Lord, don't let me make a mistake that you can't fix. Lord, don't let me make a mistake that you can. Now, I don't know how biblical, how scriptural, how right that prayer is, but I really believed with all my heart, Lord, you're not going to let me make a mistake. And if I make a mistake, it's not going to be one that can't be fixed. You're going to somehow use this. And so, bingo, I declared my major. education. I wanted to be a gym teacher. I always wanted to be that. It was the easiest way through college. It really wasn't. It was hard when you get to kinesiology and those kind of classes. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and I would have taught school. I would have been a gym teacher, excepting I wound up with a different career and then went into this that I'm doing now. But I'm thankful for that training that I had back in school. I'm thankful for the education classes. I never studied how to preach or teach, but I'm thankful that I at least had some communication classes. They made me stand up in school and talk to everybody that I didn't want to talk to publicly, but I had to do it because that was part of the class. And I'm thankful for that. And you look back on it and you say, well, Father, you didn't let me make a mistake. I wasn't in divinity school or training with theological for a theological career, but Lord, somehow or other, the mistakes that I might have made, they weren't irreparable. And you were able to rescue me from it, like the guys that threw the what they thought was good stuff in the pot. And the Lord, maybe there's somebody here that needs to hear this. The Lord can change you too and make it right. If you've made it wrong, if you've done the wrong thing, if you've made a mistake, and we all do from time to time, Lord, you're able to change that. You're able to override that. You're able to work it all out for good. If I really mean that I want to please my father. Well, that's further in the story of Elisha, but at the beginning of that chapter 4, it says the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. Now that's a problem. I mean, that's a big problem. And it's interesting to me the way the lady puts it. This is your servant. So you lost one. And he's my husband. And we've got a problem. He's dead. And now I'm bringing the problem to you, Elisha, because I got more of a problem than just that. Do you ever hear the expression, when it rains, it pours? Brother John and Sister Diana can tell you what that means. The preponderance of one after another. You're not out of one, and here comes another trial. You've had that too, haven't you? Some of you. I've had those things. You wonder, when's it going to end? Is it ever going to end? Lord, too much at one time. No, never too much. No more than you can bear. He'll make a way of escape. You can bear it. But you've got to find that grace and mercy of God. Well, here the lady, and she says, we revered you. We revered the Lord. This was not a bad man who did bad things, and because of all the bad things that he did, he was being punished for his wickedness. This wasn't the judgment of God on his life, so we're going to cut it short. Here's a man who, I have no explanation, but he died. It happens. It happens to good people. Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know the answers to those questions. I could ask them. And you could ask them. You may never find out here on this side the answer to those questions. And I have my share of them, and you have your share of them. And this woman had her share. Your servant, my husband, is dead. But I got another problem. And it's almost as bad as that. I got two sons. But you know, my husband was the breadwinner. We don't have any money to pay the creditors. We can't pay off our mortgage or our bills. And so what they're going to do is these creditors are coming and they're going to take away my two sons. That's when it rains, it pours. That's injury to insult. That's from the frying pan into the fire. It's bad enough that I lost my husband. Now that, I haven't lost a spouse. I've walked through with many people that experience in their lives. It's overwhelming for some. It's difficult at best, at best. God's grace is sufficient. But here now, all of a sudden, on top of this, my boys are going to be taken away from me. The two kids in my family. Now, you'd never want that to happen, and I wouldn't either. What's Elisha supposed to do? Well, what are you supposed to do if you find yourself in such a circumstance? Well, it goes on, and he says, Elisha replies to her, well, how can I help you? I don't know how he said that question. I don't know if he said, how can I help you? You know, what are you coming? How can I help you with anything? What am I supposed to do? Or he may have said, how can I help you? You have suggestions? I'll entertain them. Or maybe half his question was, Lord, how can I help her? I don't know what to do, but I'm Lord. Well, he goes on after asking that. Tell me, what do you have in your house? Well, what has that got to do with my dead husband and the creditors that are coming to get my boys? You wonder what I have in my house? That doesn't have anything to do. You maybe misunderstood. My problem is a dead husband and creditors coming to take my boys. I got a bigger problem than what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? She answers his question. She says, well, I don't have anything. And I don't know. I don't want to read more into it than there is. But could that mean I've sold everything that I have already? I pawned it at the pawn shop. I'm trying to make ends meet. I tried to pay the creditors off. I'm doing the best I can for as long as I can to tread water. But only thing I got is I got a little bit of oil left. Not 20 ounces. I just got a little bit of oil. I don't know how much a little was. But, you know, I kind of like that, too, because the Lord or Elisha doesn't say, well, you got a little bit of oil, but that's really not going to be an answer to anything. What you need is what you don't have. Sorry. What you need to do is get this or get that. Now, if you had a Mercedes-Benz, we could do something. Or if you had 14 boathouse tickets that you saved up, we can get something great for that. But what do you have? Well, I'd have nothing. I only have a little bit of oil. Okay, we'll use what you have. You know, I like that about God. He never asks me for what I don't have. He only asks me for what I have. Our talents may be few and they may be small. And what we have to offer him may not be much, but it's enough. What we need to give to him is what we have, not what we don't have. Some people go through too much of their lives wishing they had what they don't have and waiting until they get what they'll never get before they can give to God what they don't have. Stop waiting for that time and give to him what you do have. Andrew, what do you have? I'm not talking about this, Andrew. I'm talking about Andrew in the Bible. What did you find? Well, I only got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but Andrew didn't want to appear to be so dumb. So he answered his own what he was thinking. But what are these among so many? I mean, these aren't going to go. You can't do anything with this little bit. 5 loaves, 2 fish, I understand. 5,000 women, I can't do anything with that. I know that. I'm smart enough to figure that out. What are these among so many? But here, help yourself. It's all I have. I'll give you what I got. It was enough. It wasn't enough when Andrew had it, but it was enough when God got a hold of it. And the little bit of oil that the woman had wasn't enough when she had it, but it was enough when God got a hold of it. You know, sometimes the Lord might, you might think this is what I need to meet my great need. To meet my great need, what I need is, well, I need a lot of money to pay the creditors, or I need them to get off my back. And we heard a testimony about that the other night. Instead of owing 25, I get 50. Well, I like that too. But it doesn't always work that way. What do you have? All I have to offer him is brokenness and strife. You know songs too, huh? But he made something beautiful of my life. How could he turn a mess into a masterpiece? I don't know either, but he can. So give the mess to him. And let it be his mess to do whatever he can for his honor and for his glory. And we can think about someone. What do you have in your hand, Aaron? What is in your hand? I got a stick. Okay, we'll use your stick. We'll use whatever it is that you have. He didn't ask Aaron or Moses for oil. They didn't have oil. They had sticks. He didn't ask Andrew for oil or sticks. He had 5 loaves and 2 fish. What do you have? And maybe what is your face stretched enough to give to me what I ask of you and feel that it might just be enough in the hands of God. So this lady, without any convincing, I don't think she understood. What is it that you have? I only have a little bit of oil. Well, go around. Now it even gets more bizarre. I don't know. Did God ever act bizarre to you? I got all these problems, and he tells me to rejoice anyway. It's crazy. Crazy people do that. I'm not crazy. I'm not doing that. I'm too smart to do that. No, you're too dumb to not listen to what it is that God wants you to do. What do you need? You want to get more from that wedding feast at Cana of Galilee? Yeah, we need more wine. It's run out. Oh, fill the pots with water. Whatever he tells you to do, Jesus' mother said, just do it. Just do it. I don't know what he's going to ask you. I have no idea what my son might ask from you, for you, about you, but just do whatever he tells you to do, because he knows what he's talking about. And so now Elisha is the representation of God, the prophet of God, the mouthpiece of God. And Elisha says, well, now we know you got a little bit of oil, but now what I'd like you to do is go around and collect all the vessels that you guys can collect. You, your boys, send your boys out. You're too old to go doing this yourself. Go collect from everybody in town. Collect an empty vessel. So go borrow one from the neighbor, from down the block, around the corner. You know, and see how many. Get as many empty vessels. Why? What are we doing? I got a little bit of oil. I'm supposed to get a whole lot of vessels. I don't know if there's a correlation between the little bit of oil and all the, but it's not making any sense to me. But the lady does it. Her boys do it. They go around and they start knocking on doors. Now, I don't know. I mean, if I was this lady, in her shoes and her situation, and I knocked on your door, would you give me a vessel? If you had an empty jar in the house, would you give me one? You would? That's my man. I can count on you. Would you give me a boat? Never mind. Yeah, you'd give me a vessel. Deshaun, would you? Where'd you go? Would you give me a... You what? You... No? Katie says no. Brother Rich? Okay. Stephen? Okay. I got a few perhapses, and maybe the lady ran into those kinds of things too. You got any empty jars? No, we got rice in all of them. We got beans and all. We got no empty ones. Oh, wait a minute. We can put this bit of rice into this, but we'll get you one. Perhaps. Maybe. We'll find a vessel for you. And some were like Katie. I'm not giving you nothing. I don't know what you want a vessel, an empty one for, but my vessels are my vessels, and your vessels are your vessels, and you can find help from somewhere else. Go someplace else to go get your vessel. And so they went around and collected, but you know, they didn't find a lot of Katie's. They found a lot of, found my man. They found a lot of guys and girls that would give them a vessel. And collected, and I hope I would get a bunch of vessels if I were in this lady's condition. I mean, how hard is it? How hard is it to lend to somebody or give to somebody an empty jar? My wife is collecting cans for Vacation Bible School. Not cans so we can go get a nickel for each one that we return. But for VBS, I don't know what we're using them for. I don't know what's going to become of them, but there's signs up and announcements being made. I get a note there. Announce, we need empty cans. So if you got a lot of empty cans you're throwing away, I'll take them home because we still can use empty cans for VBS. And people are bringing them. People are donating them. I think even your mother, not you, I know, but your mother is giving us empty vessels. And we're thankful for your mother and her bringing all these empty cans. And it's not hard to get those. So now the prophet says, okay, now go behind closed doors in the house there. And I want you to take that little jar of oil that you have. And I want you to start pouring it into all those empty vessels. Just do it. No, I'd rather, you know, I'm a mathematician. I'm not picking on Amrit, but I've got to, you know, calculate. It's not going to work. Just do it. Just do it. And they start pouring the oil, these boys, And that little bit, she said, a little oil that I have, she just kept pouring into the vessel that you gave me. Now I'm getting oil poured into that vessel. And the one that Brother Rich gave me, the one that you perhaps, and the other ones that I have, I'm pouring. And I don't know how many vessels, it doesn't say, she collected, but they had a whole lot of vessels filled, big ones, little ones, all sizes, different ones, all of them, large, small, whatever they could get. And just as that last vessel was filled with that oil, all of a sudden, oops, no more oil in that little container. Well, of course, that was just God doing that. That was just God doing above and beyond what the lady could even ask or think and meeting the need. And then she says, okay, now what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to go sell all that oil. This is amazing. I mean, it's so practical and it's so miraculous all at the same time. Why couldn't God just produce money? Or have the debt move on the heart of the creditors to cancel the debts? That's, I don't know why either, because God didn't do it that way. I want to cause this woman to exercise her faith. I want to borrow all these vessels from all these friends, all these people. And I know Katie would give me one, and I know you would too, perhaps nothing. I know you'd loan me one if I really was in need. I'm going to test you out tomorrow morning, and I'm going to ask for coffee cups or something like that. We'll see how far we get. I think we could gather, and every one of us can gather, an empty vessel from all the others that are empty vessels. So what's this have to do? Well, when Brother John was talking, he said something about, first of all, was thank God for his mercy. But I want to thank everyone for their prayers. You said that, right? Well, what is that? Well, some people, some of us, I'm okay. Check yourself. Some of us were praying. You know what really that was? We were lending an empty vessel. You can borrow this if you need it. God will supply the need. But I wonder what God would have done if he didn't get enough empty vessels. If there were enough empty clay pots and jars that could be filled with oil, that then the oil, and it wasn't the empty vessel that met the need. The empty vessel was necessary, but what was inside the empty vessel was what met the need. And we're back to square one. It was the oil. It was the oil. You're the empty vessel, but what's inside that empty vessel is really the treasure. And there's enough oil, or is there not enough oil? In every one of us, Lord, take the empty vessels, pour in the oil, and not only to meet my need, but to meet the need of my brothers, my sisters, my friends, everyone here. Now, many of you would loan to someone else in this room even tonight, or outside of this room. You'd loan them an empty vessel. And some of us need one. It's getting closer, but Lord, have mercy. And he does. So don't worry, don't fear. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. But if you don't mind, I think I'll preach from down here. And we'll go and see what happens. Loan the empty vessel. Sister Ruth, loan it to Sister Dolores. I know you'd do that. And you, Maryland, loan the empty vessel to California right next to you. Let's loan each other, because we're just all those empty vessels cleaned through Jesus' precious blood. But he takes that empty vessel and he makes it useful. We talked about it last night. We are made useful because of an anointing, an oil that's poured out upon us. And without the oil, the empty vessels would have been useless. There are a dime a dozen empty vessels are, but empty vessels given to God. Empty vessels given at God's command and his beck and call. God can take the empty vessel. God can fill the empty vessel with oil. And God can use the empty vessel now filled with oil to meet her need, his need, their need, your need. And I'm not so much just tonight thinking about my need, and I need to be filled, and I need to be anointed, and I need the blessing of God, and I, me, oh wow, no, not me, but we. And we have faith for one another. And we are willing, by the grace of God, to say, Lord, okay, I'll come to my brother's aid. There's so much of it in the scriptures. Bear one another's burden. And as you bear one another's burden, you're so fulfilling the law of Christ. We all hold to Christ, who is the head. And from the head flows, from one member of the body to the other member of the body, that which every joint lacks, from the sinews down to the tendons and through the body of Christ, there's a flow of the life of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the quickening power of God. What do you have? What do I have? Well, I've got an empty vessel, and I'm willing to give it tonight to somebody else. I'm willing to, first of all, give it to God and see what He'll do with it, and see if He'll fill it with Himself, and see if He'll then, out of your innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. This He spoke about His Spirit, which they that believe would receive. And all as we receive from Christ, it's not dammed up in us. There's not a blockade in us. We get so full and we're so happy that we're so full. But the blessing that comes in is supposed to be a blessing that flows out. We're conduits. We're conduits of the blessing of God. Abraham was blessed by God. He was called by God to be blessed. But the Lord said, I'm calling you and I'm going to bless you so that you might be a blessing. It doesn't stop with you, Abe. It goes to Isaac. It goes to Jacob. And it goes all the way down through the annals of history to the very present day. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And we are those sons of Abraham. We are those children of God. We've received that blessing from God. And we are in this battle and in this race and in this Christian life, not only for ourselves, but to loan our empty vessels, washed and cleansed and clean, and then useful for the Master.